Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 26, 2014, or it is if 28, 2018, we will start our second service on this second day of the week with a song entitled, Just a Little Talk with Joshua Makes It Right. I once was lost in sin, but Joshua took me in. And then the light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Joshua made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Joshua. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer wheel burning, and you know a little fire is burning, you'll find a little talk with Joshua makes it right. Sometimes my past seems drear without a ray of cheer. And then the cloud of God may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry sky. Just a little talk with Joshua clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Joshua. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now, when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Joshua makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Joshua is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care. Just a little talk with Joshua makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Joshua. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Joshua makes it right, makes it right. Okay, we're going to continue on now with a series here on the 144,000. We're on this here, Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, we're on page 109. We're going to do a prayer thought taken from Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, unto whom the word of Yahweh came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. He came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem's captive in the 5th month. Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, Yahweh Elohim, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Yahweh said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Yahweh. Now that's what he told Ezekiel. Go to the house of Israel. They're a hard-hearted and impudent people. But he says, I made your forehead as hard as theirs. You go to him and deliver my word. Don't be afraid of him. Well, he had to tell Jeremiah the same thing. Then the Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Yahweh unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Yahweh came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Yahweh said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith Yahweh, and they shall come, and they shall sit every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hand. He's talking about Israel clear down to our day. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. Now when I read this earlier, Yahweh told me, said, I have made you the same thing as I made Jeremiah. Said, I made David the same way. I made Moses the same way. And he said, I made Isaiah and all of the prophets this way. Verse 19, Jeremiah 1. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to deliver thee. So apparently when you're called to a high post, then Yahweh has promised that he would be with you, because he's going to have to be with you at all times to deliver you when you get in trouble, because you're going to get in trouble when you go and speak Yahweh's words to the people he sends you to speak to. Then you're going to get in trouble with them, and Yahweh's going to have to be there to deliver you, because they are treacherous people. They're very dangerous. All right, this end of a prayer thought. We'll go now into our main sermon, which is taken from Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, by the V.T. Holliff, and our subtitle is Who is Israel by the Promise? So, this will be part 8, 144,000. It says, let's do a little review. Abraham was called of the Yahweh by the spoken word. Luther by the written. Abraham is the father of the faith, so is Luther. The doctrine taught by Luther was the just shall live by faith. If this is true, then the 430 years in our time began with Luther, about 1500 A.D. Luther discovered in the library of the University of Erfurt a Latin Bible, and found no small delight that it contained more than the excerpts in common use. Thus Elohim, by his word, called Luther out of the papal Rome. We have first a period of 400 years, and then it was extended to 430 years. We therefore have a 30-year period to deal with first. It has been stated that the 30 years ended about the time Ishmael persecuted Isaac. According unto this, about the year 1530 A.D. Something must have been brought forth. What took place in 1530? The Augsburg Confession, a document compiled by the Luther, which was presented by the Protestants at the Diet of Augsburg to the Emperor Charles V, and the Diet, and being signed by the Protestant states, was adopted as their creed, and who protested against the Pope. This coincides with the Sarah protesting against Agar and Ishmael when they departed from the house of Abraham, and the assurance of the covenant of the promise that was made with Isaac, as Sarah protested against Agar and Ishmael, so Protestants protested against the papal rule. This is just exactly what should have taken place in 1530 A.D., the 50th occurrence of the prophecy. At the time Isaac was persecuted by Ishmael, he, Isaac, was 5 years old, and at the time Jacob was born, Isaac was 60. Therefore, we add 55 years to 1530, which brings us to 1585 A.D. Explanation of this period will be given later. From the birth of Jacob to the time Ishmael went into Egypt was 130 years. Adding this number to 1585 gives us 1715 A.D. But the explanation of this period also will be given later. From the time Israel went into Egypt to the birth of Moses was 135 years. Adding this to 1715 brings the total to 1850 A.D. This period is marked by the birth of Moses, which was a hope, a deliverer for Israel. What took place in 1850? The first testimony was written to the church and addressed unto those who are receiving the seal of the living Elohim, signed E.G. White. Thus, the birth of Moses, the hope of Israel, after the flesh, coincides with the birth of the first testimony for the church, the hope of Israel, by the promise of 144,000. Thus, we see a perfect harmony in the type with the antitype. See Origin of Progress of the Seventh-day Adventists, page 749. Moses, at the age of 40 years, attempted to deliver Israel and failed. Adding 40 years to 1850, we have 1890 A.D. What happened at this time? Well, the following statement was made by the sister of White in 1892. If the people of Elohim had gone to work as they should have gone to work right after the Minneapolis meeting in 1888, the world could have been warned in 2 years and the Yeshua would have come. General Conference Bulletin 1892. This conference was given us, although this reference was given unto us by a Seventh-day Adventist minister of the Los Angeles, California, about the same time, 1890, National Religious Liberty was organized by the denomination. Thus, the attempt and failure of Moses experienced to sit freedom to Israel from the Egyptian bondage coincides with the organizing of religious liberty and Elohim's people failed to do their duty, and National Religious Liberty Association organized July the 21st, 1889. Origin and Progress of SDA, page 752. 40 years later, Moses was called and sent back to Egypt and did set Israel free from the Egyptian bondage. Adding 40 to 1890 brings the total to 1930. This period should be marked by a reformation and purification of the church, fulfilling Malachi 3 and Ezekiel 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left, Isaiah 11:11. The two periods, 1585 and 1715, will now be explained. 1585 corresponds with the birth of Jacob, and 715 corresponds with Israel going down into Egypt. For the entering into the Egypt with the 70 souls typified the birth of the Seventh-day Adventist, as explained on pages 73 to 74. The Seventh-day Adventism was not born until 1845. To get the truth of these two periods, we must count back to the birth of Jacob, for it is a birth that we are dealing with. We have 130 years from the entrance into Egypt until the birth of Jacob, and 85 years from the birth of Jacob to Abraham's departure out of Ur. Therefore, we must go backwards and subtract the first 85 years period from the going out of the Ur unto the birth of the Jacob from 1930. And we have 1845, thus We get the year of the birth of the Seventh-day Adventist. Mrs. Ellen Harmon then had her first vision, and it was about the 144,000, Israel by the promise, and the first paper published then on the Sabbath truth was called The Hope of Israel. See Origin and Progress of the Seventh-day Adventism, page 749. Now subtract the 130-year period from the birth of Jacob unto the entering into the Egypt from 1845, and we have 1715 A.D., the year which is marked by the Israel going into Egypt. Thus, 1715 becomes the dividing line between the Canaan and Egypt, just as Yahshua became the dividing line between B.C. and A.D. Note how it coincides on the chart. If these coincidences were divinely designed, then the beginning and ending of the prophecy, as on the following chart, would be correct. Okay. So now it says the Shepherd Rod, section 4. Here we got the coincident chart. The King James chronology. The calling of Abraham, beginning of the 430-year period, of Patriarchs and Prophets, 760. Number 5. 760. 26 B.C., I guess is what it means. The calling of Luther being the 430-year period, 1500 A.D. Okay, it gives you all of these here. I don't know how much important it is to name all of this, but I'll go ahead and read it. It says, from the departure out of Ur to the persecution of Isaac was 30 years, and Sarah protested against him that was born after the flesh, departure of Agar and Ishmael in 2096 B.C. From 1500, call of Luther was 30 years, to adoption of Protestant creed and protesting to the papal church in 1530. From the persecution of Isaac to the birth of Jacob was 55. Birth of Jacob in 2041 B.C. From adoption to the Protestant creed to 1585, we have 55 years. 1585 coincides with 1845, as explained below by the subtraction of the number of the years from the departure from Ur to the birth of Jacob becoming the birth of SDA. See page 111, early writings, page 13. At the birth of Jacob unto the entrance into Egypt was 130 years. Add 1585, the typical, and we have the 130 years dividing line between Canaan and Egypt. Since our last panel also, or see the last panel, page 111, note that there are six lines of numbers on either side of. So that would be in 1715 A.D. And 1776 A.D. it says, from the entrance into Egypt to the birth of Moses, hope with Israel, of Israel was 135 years. Okay, the date of Moses' birth, hope of Israel, was 1776 B.C. The call, okay, now it says, add 1585, the typical, and we have the dividing line between Canaan and Egypt. See the last panel also, page 111. Note, there are six lines of numbers on either side of. That was in 1715. It's from 1715 to the birth of the first testimony, we have 135 years. The birth of the first testimony to the church, addressed to those who are receiving the seal of the living Elohim, signed E.G. White. This is the reason why we have 1500 A.D. as the starting point of this prophecy. And if these coincidences were He found the design, then the beginning and ending of the prophecy as on this chart would be correct. See chart on Ezekiel's prophecy on page 133. From Moses' birth to the time he attempted to liberate Israel was 40 years. Moses failed and fled away in 1736. Moses spent in the wilderness 40 years. Deliverance of Israel by the Moses in 1696. From the call of Abraham to the birth of Jacob, 85 years. From the birth of Jacob to the entering into Egypt was 130 years. From the birth of the first testimony to the time national religious liberty was organized is 40 years. The Elohim people failed to do their duty. Volume 5, page 80. That was in 1890. From the time national religious liberty was organized to 1930 is 40 years. Time due for the Reformation, a call to depart from worldliness, purification of the church, Malachi 3, volume 5, page 80 and 82, and Isaiah 11:11. That's in 1930. From 1930 we subtract the typical, 85 years. The birth of the SDA, Ellen Harmon has her first vision, first paper published on Sabbath truth, titled The Hope of Israel, 1845. From 1845, we subtract the typical 130 years, and we have the dividing line between, or something like the cross, B.C. and A.D., between Canaan and Egypt, 1715. The prophecy of Ezekiel 4, what transpires within the 390 days. It says that, for I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel, when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days, I have appointed thee each day for a year. Ezekiel 4, 5, and 6. For the prophecy of the fourth chapter of Ezekiel finds its fulfillment in our day. This prophecy should not possibly refer to Israel after the flesh, though it deals with the period of 430 years in about the same manner as the prophecy made unto Abraham. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, Genesis 15:13. Exodus 12:40 says, Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. So the prophecy to Abraham was made in two sections, first being 400 years and then the 430 years. Ezekiel's prophecy is made exactly the same way in two sections, but not the same number of the years in each section. Instead of 400 years, we have 390 years. Instead of 30 years, we have 40, making the same total of 430 in each case. If this prophecy had a reference to the prophecy made to Abraham, there should have been the same number of years in each section. But since it is not the same, it must be another period of the time. Again, the prophecy of Israel after the flesh is that they should sojourn and be afflicted 430 years. But this prophecy of Ezekiel says in verse 13, And the Yahweh said, Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Therefore, it is evident that this prophecy refers to another period of the time and experience than that of the experience of the Israel in the Egypt, where the prophecy made unto Abraham of 430 years ended at the time that the children of Israel went out of Egypt, which is according unto the Bible chronology, that's in the King James Version, 1491 B.C., according unto the same chronology, the 430-year period of the children of Israel, had ended 896 years before Ezekiel was even given the vision of his prophecy, and he put the prophecy in the future, for he uses future tense, Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread, and so it is altogether impossible for one to form a conclusion that these two prophecies deal with the same period and experience of the Israel down in the Egypt. For this period by the Ezekiel had no reference to Israel after flesh in Ezekiel's time. But Yahweh said, Ezekiel 4:5, "For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity according unto the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel." In this verse, Yahweh said the 390 days for the for years in this verse, Yahweh said that the 390 days are years are for the iniquity of the house of Israel, but in the next verse, the 40-year period has reference unto Judah. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. Therefore, Israel and Judah are referred to for the kingdom of the 12 tribes of the Israel was divided into the 2 divisions in their early years, namely Israel and Judah. But at the time Ezekiel had this vision, there was only 1 division, for the 10 tribes had been conquered and carried away in the 721 B.C., 126 years before this prophecy was made, according unto the same chronology. Being in the future, the prophecy was made according unto the same chronology. Being in the future, the prophecy then could have no reference unto Israel after the flesh, for this 430-year period has never yet been applied unto any time or people in the past, and therefore has never been explained, but the same, just the same as many other prophecies that were never understood until they met their fulfillment. If the time of its fulfillment has come, then only shall we understand the prediction. We begin at the 4th verse and onward. We shall later take the 1st 3 and last 2 verses. Israel after flesh was a type of Israel by the promise, 144,000, as explained on page 64 to 113, for the experience of the children of Israel in Egypt was a photograph of our denomination. Thus their experience is being reproduced in every particular with this people, and if there are 430 years connected with the Israel after flesh, then the same period of time must be connected with the true, for the 430-year period by the Abraham did not have to do only with the ancient Israel, but with the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as well. For the prophecy unto Abraham of 430 years began with the call to come out of the Ur and ended at the Mount Sinai. But this 430 years which ended at the Mount Sinai were the type as explained on pages 108 and 109. For the typical 430 years prophesied to Abraham began in the true, our time, with the Martin Luther, as explained on page 108 to 111. Therefore, both prophecies, the one to Abraham and the one to Ezekiel, refer to the same period in our time. The one to Abraham stands as a type, but the other is in a direct prophecy, and both run parallel in our time. We may suppose the 390-year period began in about 1500 A.D., when Luther found the Bible, and ended in 1890 A.D., where the 40-year period began, which would end in 1930. However, we cannot point out the exact day or month, or even the year, because, number one, we do not know the exact day of the call of the Luther. Number two, prophecy deals with the Jewish or perhaps the Hebrew year. Therefore, it is a matter of months that we cannot determine. It may run until 1931 or even after. If the coincidences, as explained on chart pages 112 and 113, were not divinely designed to point out this fact, the question may be asked, why would Elohim make a double prophecy for the same thing? Because the old prophecies, the type, only give the details from the beginning of the third angel's message to the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9. The prophecy about Ezekiel gives the information in detail from the beginning of Luther's Reformation to Ezekiel 9. marking of the 144,000, and unrolling of the scroll. Not all in regard to this matter is yet understood, nor will it be understood until the unrolling of the scroll, volume 6, page 17. For the typical 430 years prophesied unto Abraham began in the true our time with the Martin Luther as explained on pages 108 to 111. Actually, we've already read that, so we're going to go right on into the last paragraph on page 116. It says it makes it clear that there is a 430-year period from the Reformation by the Luther unto the purification of the church, as we shall endeavor to prove by the Ezekiel's prophecy, which we quote here. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according unto the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity, for I have laid upon thee the number of their iniquity according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah of 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fishes. Okay, the margin says the spelt. And put them into the one vessel, and make thee bread thereof according unto the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days, as shalt thou eat thereof, and thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by the weight, 20 shekels a day, from time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by the measure, the sixth part of an hin. From time to time shalt thou drink, Ezekiel 4:4-6. And 9-11, Ezekiel was commanded to lie on his left side for 390 days, during which time he was to eat and drink. After the 390 days were ended, he must turn to his right side and lie for 40 days. But during this time he must not eat. For the 390 days are 390 literal years, according unto the last part of the Ezekiel 4:6, as we have made the application. The 390 years began with the Luther and ended in 1890. During this period of the time, Ezekiel was told to eat and drink while he lay on his left side. What is he told to eat? Six varieties of the food, namely wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. We are not to understand these six varieties to be material food to sustain physical life, but as the symbols of the spiritual food doctrines of the six varieties to sustain spiritual life. Had these not been symbols of truth, the Yahweh would not have asked Ezekiel to get a specified number of the cereals, and that he should put them in the one vessel and bake them into a certain cake and eat them at a specified time in a particular way with a fixed measure of the water. These six doctrines may be represented by the six steps upward, reformation, and effort to bring the church to her state of the purity. Which symbol of the faith, or the first portion of the spiritual food or truth, which we were to receive, represented by the wheat, was faith as taught by the Luther, as his doctrine was, the just shall live by faith. Now, we're going to put the article in there and reread that. For the just shall live by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. For the wheat which symbolized the doctrine Luther gave us must be perfect in itself to make a perfect symbol of that doctrine. Note the truth of the wheat. It has always been used by all generations and everybody uses it, and it is hard to get along without. Just so all must have the doctrine of the faith and the blood of the Yahshua. Without the faith and the blood of Yahshua, it is impossible to please Yahshua. So the Bible says not only Christians, but other religions must have faith as well as they must have wheat. Even the infidel and the atheist must excuse or exercise faith in whatever he may believe. We can see that inspiration used the right kind of symbol to represent the doctrine of the faith. Barley, symbol of the spirit. For the second portion of the food or truth which we were to get is represented by the barley. John Knox is the next man who is with the making of the second step by the teaching of the doctrine with the representation by the barley that is with the truth of the Holy Spirit. For the barley is not so commonly or widely used as the wheat. In fact, a few people would use it, and at that very seldom. Many people do not know what barley is. So with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, while the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is believed by some Christians, it is not believed by others. Some do not understand what the truth of the Spirit is, even if some do not know what barley is. So the symbol representing the second doctrine is perfect, even as the first, for the Gideon's experience with the Midianite dream of the barley cake overturning the tent proves the same. Read Judges chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Beans are the symbol of grace. Okay, beans are just as widely and commonly used by all the people and all generations, the same as wheat. John Wesley, the third man on the stage of the action, as a great reformer, made the third step upward by the teaching of the doctrine of the grace, which is represented by the beans. All believe in the grace, so much so that men no longer fear Elohim and have declared his law void. He is too gracious and too merciful, they say, and as we are under grace, Elohim will do neither good nor evil. Thus Christians these days have perverted its true meaning, even as they all love beans and have perverted the proper name by the calling them pork and beans. What's a more fitting symbol could have been chosen to represent the doctrine of the grace than the one Elohim has selected? Lintels, type of the doctrine of the baptism by the immersion. Lintels are used to represent the fourth portion of the truth. For the Alexander Campbell is credited with the making of the fourth step upward by the teaching of the doctrine of the baptism by the immersion, symbolized by the lintels. For the variety lintels representing the fourth doctrine, baptism by the immersion, is not known or used even as much as barley. So with the truth of the immersion, baptism by the immersion in the old-fashioned way is not generally practiced, even as lintels are not generally used. Again, Elohim has used the right kind of symbol to represent this portion of the truth. Millet, symbol of the 2300 days. For the fifth portion of the truth is represented by the millet, and the fifth reformer was William Miller. He taught the prophecy of the Daniel 8:14, which was the doctrine of the 2300 days. Millet is scarcely known, and those who do know what it is say it is of little worth, merely a wild grass with scarcely any farming value and not desired by anybody. Nevertheless, it is a good cereal. Just so with the doctrine taught by the millet, no one has any use for it, and Seventh-day Adventists are practically the only people who teach it. Those who do not accept this doctrine say it is good for nothing, and charge Miller as being a false prophet. Though it is a wonderful prophecy and reveals a great truth, yet people will not accept it. It is good for nothing, with no spiritual value, and we have no need of it, is the cry. Again, the question is asked, could a better symbol than Miller be found for the representing of the doctrine of the 2300 days? Spelt symbol of the Sabbath in the connection with the sanctuary. For the last serial mention in Ezekiel's prophecy is spelt, which represents the sixth doctrine, our doctrine, which is the Sabbath, the truth and the light, as given by the A.G. White in connection with the heavenly sanctuary. For the definition of the spelt, as in the margin, according unto the standard dictionary, is as follows. A cereal intermediate between wheat and barley. It was the chief cereal of the ancient Egypt, being probably the rye of the time of the Moses, but cultivated now mainly in the Switzerland, southern Germany, and northern Spain. Spelt is an ancient cereal used in the ancient Egypt in the days of Moses, and it was a rye in the days of the Joseph. So is the Sabbath an ancient truth which originated in the Garden of Eden and was the last recorded act of the creation. It was a truth in the days of Moses, as the first man in the Bible who instituted Sabbath keeping. Spelt is a little better known than Miller and has some farming value, but only in a certain portions of the globe, even as the Sabbath is better known than the 2300 days. But any dare say these are not all perfect symbols, or that it is only a certain man's interpretation and only an accident or just happened and yet fit it so perfectly, but thus far only one phase has been explained. All in the one vessel. Okay, it says, for the Yahweh said unto the prophet Ezekiel, put them in the one vessel, Ezekiel 4:9. It will now be considered as to whether he really did put all these doctrines in the one vessel. Luther believed in the doctrine he taught, but the great enemy flooded the church with the deception, not with the arguing of the truth. No, verily suggesting unto the people that they now have all the truth and that they surely were right, thus hardening their hearts against more light. Soon additional truth came, but Satan had already flooded the church with his agents, and prejudice was aroused against the new light. The result was that the majority turned down the truth, a few saw the light, and as the case generally is, they were voted out by the church. Necessity gave birth unto a new movement or denomination. Such has been the experience with the church in each advancing truth up the line to our own time. In the like manner, the truth represented by the body spirit was turned down by those who had accepted the doctrine symbolized by the wheat faith. Knox believed in all the truth he had, and also all the truth that Luther taught. Thus the wheat and the barley were in one vessel and carried unto the second step. We next have the truth symbolized by the beans, with the grace doctrine, and presented by the Wesley, who believed also in the truths previously taught by the Luther and Knox, which were represented by the wheat and barley. For the third step was made, and the wheat, barley, and beans were in the one vessel. The fourth truth is represented by the lentils, baptism by the immersion, and taught by the Campbell, who believed in the doctrines of the Luther, Knox, and Wesley. Thus the wheat, barley, beans, and lentils were carried unto the fourth step, and in the one vessel. The fifth truth, 2300 day's prophecy was represented by the Miller, and this step upward was made by the William Miller, who believed in all the truths symbolized by the wheat, barley, beans, and lentils. The fifth step was made, and the five varieties of the food of the truth were cured in the one vessel. We now come to the last variety of the cereal, spelt Sabbath, in connection with the judgment. Is it not a fact that the Seventh-day Adventist denomination believes in all these truths? The wheat, faith, barley, Holy Spirit, beans, grace, lentils, immersion, millet, 2300 days, spelt Sabbath, with the sanctuary truth. It will be noticed, he always said, put them into one vessel. He did not say in two or more, but in one. There are no other people besides Seventh-day Adventists who believe in the 2300 days, cleansing of the sanctuary, and it is this denomination vessel which teaches all the six doctrines as represented by the six varieties of the food. Thus, the prophecy meets its fulfillment in our day, and we are amazed with the difficulty to comprehend the great wisdom of the Yahweh our Elohim. Barley cake. Yahweh told Ezekiel, thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, Ezekiel 4:12. Why the wheat, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt made of the barley cake? Why not as wheat cake or cake of some of the other cereal? The truth of the Holy Spirit was represented by the barley, as explained on page 118. For this reason, Ezekiel was told to make it into barley cakes, meaning the truth came by the power of the Holy Spirit and not by the aid of men. I will lay bands upon thee. Okay, now it says in Ezekiel 4:8 we read, and behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. The prophet was to lie on his left side 390 days. During this time he was to eat the varieties of food, but why on the left side? Why not on the right? Because the symbol would not have been perfect had he lain on his right side while eating. For the stomach of a man is shaped something like a crescent, with a narrow neck to the right as an outlet. If a man lies on his left side, the outlet is upward against gravity, and consequently would be difficult to empty itself, which would cause the food to remain within it. Had it not been for the bands the Yahweh put around Ezekiel, he would have turned to his right side, thus spoiling the symbol. For the meaning is that even though the great enemy tried to force out every truth by the prejudice and insinuation and casting out of the church those who were teaching these new truths, as it has been in each instant in the past, yet Elohim saw to it that every truth would remain until he has put them in the one vessel, and so it is. Thou shalt drink also water. Thou shalt drink also water by the measure, the sixth part of an hen. From time to time shalt thou drink, Ezekiel 4:11. Water, when taken in, gives life. Without it, existence would be impossible. Yahshua, speaking unto the woman at the well, said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:14. Yahshua referred to water as a symbol of the everlasting life. The meaning of the symbol of the drinking of water that the barley cakes is that souls were to be saved by each new truth, the spirit of the life. Meat by the weight, water by the measure. It says, Ezekiel 4:10-11, and by what meat of which thou shalt eat shall be by the weight. Thou shalt all drink also water by the measure. For the measure and weight are symbols, signifying that Elohim would only give truth by the measure, a little at a time, as the prophecy reads, from time to time shalt thou eat and drink, and so has Elohim given light a little at a time, as we could grasp it. It has come in its exact biblical order: faith, spirit, grace, baptism, time of the end, and the Sabbath rest. For the Abraham, the father of the faithful, is a symbol of the faith. Isaac, the symbol of the spirit, of the truth. As the Bible says, he is born after spirit. Jacob, the symbol of the grace, for as he was a sinful man, had it not been for the grace of Elohim, he could not have prevailed. For the Exodus movement is a symbol for the baptism. What we read in 1 Corinthians 10:2. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. For the wilderness life is a symbol of the sanctuary question at the end of the 23-year day. It was in the wilderness that the heavenly sanctuary was described by the earthly. For the promised land is a symbol of the Sabbath rest. In the promised land, they were to rest. They were to rest had they driven out the heathen, but because of the national pride and disbelief, they failed to obtain the promised rest. The disobedience of the Israel in the promised land is a symbol of our failing to obey Elohim at this present time. Explanation of the Ezekiel 4, 12, and 14, and 15. For the wonderful prophecy as it is, the saddest part now is to be told. For the scriptures about to be quoted has perhaps never been read publicly or reproduced in any literature, but if it was never to be studied out, read in the public or published, Elohim would never have placed it in the scriptures. However, it is there no doubt for a purpose and must be considered. For the quotation as found in Ezekiel 4:12 and 14 and 15 reads as follows: And thou shalt bake it with the dung that cometh out of the man in their sight. Then said I, O Yahweh Elohim, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth up even till now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself or is torn in pieces, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, Lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. For the prophet was told that he could not use wood or coal to bake the cakes upon, but that he should use dung that cometh out of man. Unto Ezekiel it was too repulsive, and he pleaded to be excused, for the Yahweh made an allowance, not by the compulsion, but for the Ezekiel's sake only, by the telling Ezekiel to bake it with the cow's dung. But the 13th verse gives an explanation of the symbol as follows: And Yahweh said, Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles. The symbol is every portion of the truth that has come so far has been polluted, including the last one, Sabbath. Notwithstanding all the instruction given us line upon line and the precept upon precept, the picture tells a story. The symbols do not lie. Instead of being offended because we are told of our failings, we should only praise Elohim that in his mercy he has made a call for the reformation, that we may not be left to perish in our sins, but are given an opportunity to choose whom we will serve. For the question may be asked, how have we polluted Elohim's truth? Only one of the many references will be quoted here. Volume 1, pages 471. A great mistake has been made by some who profess the present truth. about the introducing merchandise in the course of a series of meetings. Ministers have stood in the desk and preached a most solemn discourse, and then by introducing merchandise and acting the part of a salesman, even in the house of Elohim, the burden of the selling our publication should not rest upon the ministers who labor in the word and doctrine. Volume 8, page 250. I saw our instructor, Yeshua, pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness, stripping them off. He laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said unto me, can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up their defilement and rottenness of the character? How has a faithful city become an harlot? My father's house is made a house of merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness, and strength is lacking. Thus we have the proof that every truth thus far has been polluted, including the Sabbath. Thus far, the 390 years, okay, we're going to the 40 days and what transpires within. Thus far, the 390 years have been explained, and we shall now consider the 40 days or years. After Ezekiel had accomplished the 390 days, he was told to turn now onto his right side and lie on it 40 days. Unlike the 390 days, he is not to eat anything but fast the entire 40 days. And during this period of time, he must lie on his right side. As we have explained before, if one should lie on his left side, the stomach cannot empty itself, but now he must lie on his right side, for this position would give his stomach a chance to empty itself. Naturally, if the stomach would empty and would not take other food, he could become hungry, symbol of the spiritual hunger. For the symbol is that the church has been on a spiritual decline for 40 years and has had no spiritual food to feed upon. Some may say we have the Bible and the testimony, and we feed on them. It is true, we have had them, but they have been closed to us, for we did not make proper use of the truth we have had, and it is a fact that the church has had no new light upon the scriptures that were not understood 40 years ago. For the 40-year period began 1890, according to the chart on pages 112 and 113, at which time the 390 years ended, the time was about elapsed, and now we must have food or else we shall die, and Elohim in his mercy has remembered his people and is sending them an invitation to draw near for another good feast. And I'm saying this invitation only applies at this time now, in the 12th hour, at the very time where we're at today. This brings the close of our study of contact, just at the 11th hour call, and there's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Yahshua saves. We have heard the joyful song. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Spread the tidings all around. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the way. Onward tis our Yah's command. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Hail to sinners far and wide. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back the ocean chain. Earth shall keep her to belly. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Sing above the battle scar. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. By his death an endless life. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. the tomb. Yes, we're saved, yes, we're saved. Give the winds a mighty voice. Yes, we're saved, yes, we're saved. Let the nations now rejoice. Yes, we're saved, yes, we're saved. Shall salvation full and free highest hills and deepest cave. This a song of victory. Yes, we're saved, yes, we're saved.